Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. When you do this, you will also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special guest is Richard Scott. He's formerly from the UK, but he's now based in Brisbane, Australia. He is a mindset coach, an international psychotherapist, and a clinical hypnotherapist who often combines the psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, and cognitive behavioral therapy with traditional and modern hypnosis to deliver a more effective solution to his clients at MindWorks Therapy. His highly successful techniques are world-renowned, with clientele spanning some 30 countries. Riding high on the back of his repeatedly proven track record, he is featured prominently in local, national, and global press, also being interviewed numerous times on live radio. And so it's my pleasure to present Richard. And Richard, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. Hi, David. Hi, listeners. Great to be here.
Hello. We may indeed have some callers that would like to ask you some questions, but to start off, how about giving us a brief introduction of yourself?
Great. Yep, sure. Well, my name is Richard Scott. I'm a mindset coach. I'm an NLP practitioner. That's neuro-linguistic programming. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and a psychotherapist. And I've recently emigrated to Australia from the UK. So for the past 10 years or so, I ran a busy, successful practice in the UK. And my wife has dragged me kicking and screaming over to Australia, to the bright sunshine. And I'm loving it, loving every day, loving helping people. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's great. So how did you happen to get started with this kind of work?
It's an interesting story, really. I always had, from being very little, I always had an interest in persuasion. And I had something of a natural talent for understanding why people made certain decisions and how to get them to change. Not necessarily as like a naughty child or anything, but I saw a way of getting what I wanted or persuading people to come along to my kind of my train of thought. I was really creative. And so just progressing from being tiny and understanding the basics of psychology, I had an interest in like a creative design flair. So design and advertising caught my eye and it caught my attention. So that's what I kind of studied through school and college and then started work as a designer. And rising really swiftly through the ranks, I became a co-owner of a design agency, a creative director. So I basically co-ran the company and worked for many global brands, Virgin, Rolls-Royce, Porsche, Star Wars, loads of big names. And I was basically advertising for them, persuading people to go visit this place or buy this product, usual kind of persuasion guidelines. And through those, I was introduced through daily learning, I was introduced to the concept of hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming and cognitive behavioral therapy, all little modalities that help people change their own mindset and to start thinking differently. And it switched my focus. It was almost like a turning point. I realized that I had this kind of talent, but I wanted to help people change and achieve their own goals, not necessarily for money, but I just wanted to see the change in people. So I started helping people. And I found it a lot more personally fulfilling. I started helping people on a one-to-one basis through learning these techniques and then moving into more group work. And I became known for doing corporate sessions, making people more confident, more focused and dynamic and motivated. And then I started selling MP3 downloads, and now I coach people globally. So that's basically the route through design and advertising and persuasion into helping people. And it just gives me so much of a buzz when I do. It's great. I love every day.
It sounds like a nice segue, and I'm able to relate to the idea of the satisfaction that comes from being helpful to other people. I think that's a very spiritual approach to life. I would like to get back to discussing some of those modalities, but first of all, let me ask you why it's important for somebody to set goals.
It's important because to set a goal, it's basically to define a change that you want to achieve. Often goals are set on, let's say, a long-term basis, and they're often quite general. Particularly in this type of year, the New Year's resolution goals are sometimes along the lines of, I want to be slimmer, or I want to be fitter, I want to be healthier. But you basically set a goal, you create a target, a destination, something to aspire to aim for, and then achieve. That's basically why you set goals. Goals are the ultimate end game. That's where you want to be. But in order to achieve them, you have to learn the techniques. You have to break them down. Break those goals down into smaller, more specific, more measurable objectives. The goal might be far off in the distance. I want to be slimmer. But to break it down, you take the steps of what it needs to create that change. You need to eat healthier, work out, do more exercise, creating a little plan that you can measure your journey. And that's basically why to set goals. Very important.
Well, you mentioned New Year's resolution. What's your take on them?
Yeah. It's a time of year, isn't it? I think a New Year's resolution, you can see it as a goal. It is basically a goal. But nowadays, people just want a clear, defined starting point. It's a time for change. They see the word new, a new year, and it just inspires, right, let's start something new. So I'll start it on the 1st of January. But people can set goals every single day of their lives. It tends to boil down to your own passion, your reasons why you're undertaking that goal. And then it also boils down to your own resilience to keep pushing yourself, to take those little steps into bigger steps, into giant leaps, and then into a run. You keep pushing yourself to achieve those goals. So, yeah, people all talk about New Year's resolutions, but they're not different from regular goal setting. It's just reframed around the time of year. You can set a goal right here, right now, on the whatever of January or whatever of March, anytime you want to, anytime in the world. You just set a goal and you start it there and then. The most important thing is just to take action. It doesn't need to be a new year. It doesn't need to be halfway through the year. But it is often easier to measure if you start something, let's say, at the beginning of a month. It's easier to say, right, on the 1st of next month, I will have done this for a month. By half a year down the line, you'll be able to measure those months clearly. But it's really not that important, focusing on the new year aspect. It's the resolution, it's the mindset, and taking action that works.
Well, I liked your take on how you can start it right now, because I believe the present moment is where everything happens, and I found it much more manageable to take it in a day-by-day approach, but it sounds like it's necessary to have the motivation and inspiration to move forward to be successful with whatever goals you set for yourself, and that they probably need to be reasonable goals. Yourself up for failure.
Yeah. A little bit later, what I wanted to do is basically give your listeners a fail-proof plan of achieving their goals through exactly how to break down the goals. But going back to the last question, the new year, it kind of frames your mind into a new change of mind, gearing it towards change. But often in the new year, basically through my design and advertising background, I know that companies send out loads of offers on the new year. So it's often a really good time to step into this mode of change briefly mentioned before, the weight loss, wanting to get slimmer, fitter, or healthier. Gyms in particular, gymnasiums, they often have offers. Start with a membership at this gym and it's 50% off or something if you start on the 1st of January. There will be plenty of advertising offers getting you into the whole mindset of change. But then those gyms themselves often don't give you the motivation to keep going. That's down to you. But New Year is a very good time to start the goals. But yeah, they're not different to any other goals. You can set them anytime. Just start them. That's the main key.
Well, I noticed from your website that you deal with a lot of different symptoms. And some people are so out of touch with themselves that they don't have any idea where to begin, or at least maybe not where the most important step to take. For instance, if somebody has a drug or alcohol addiction and is focusing on something else and doesn't deal with that addiction first, they're really setting themselves up for failure. What would you say about that?
Yes. Yeah. When people come to see me, I would say realize the problem first and go seek professional help before anything. Just see the professionals. If somebody comes in to see me, I often take an extensive life history of them. I ask well over 100 questions. So I want to get an absolutely specific targeted view of their entire life, what they went through, what their childhood was like, what they're doing now. Even in the weight loss terms, it's what they eat now, what kind of movement they do during a day. I will ask a lot of questions, and if it comes out that they have certain mindsets of like an addictive personality, if they have these kind of issues in their life, yeah, it boils down to a root problem. Something might have happened, like maybe a trauma event, and the mind is trying to protect them by seeking comfort. So they may turn to drink, they may turn to drugs, they may have another vice. And as you mentioned just a few moments ago, well over 1,000 symptoms people have come to see me for now. Well over 1,000 different symptoms. Wow. And that could be physical, emotional, psychological, loads of different things. And I have to try and find these root causes, these little seeds that are in their mind somewhere, that are festering, that are nasty seeds, and they're making their whole mindset change into this negative thought pattern. And they're usually quite easy to find. When the client gets really nice and relaxed, they tend to open up. And once they see me as basically a guide, somebody's helping them on this journey, not trying to fight against them, not telling them what to do, but just there for support and help. And I'm often a mine of information. If certain issues come to light, I've got answers for them. I've got suggestions in how they can either change the way they look at these particular challenges, or offering solutions, creating alternatives around them, learning how to sidestep certain issues rather than try to hit them head on. It may be a case of taking more of, I've got a martial arts background, so I learned to go with the flow. If people throw energy towards you, you can go with that flow and then direct it in the way you want it. And it's the same with a challenge. If something's in front of you, you can learn to sidestep and then basically detach from that challenge and see what's going on and offer yourself advice. So yeah, if people have these root causes, it can be very distracting to their goals. So they need to be dealt with first. So I would always say seek professional help.
Sounds good. Can you give me an example of how to sidestep something?
But yeah, you realize what's actually causing it. You realize the triggers. In a very brief form, I would basically get you into a nice relaxed frame of mind so you're not hyper emotional. And we would basically go through sections of your life. And the troubles that you might be facing now may have originated when you were very young. So gradually going back and just talking to each other about various times in your life and what caused problems, and trying to trace back to those original steps, the original trigger sensations. It may be you were bullied at school as a child, and you're now in your late 50s, and you're really lacking in self-esteem and confidence, and you don't know why. But when we relax and we take you back, and you it's like a eureka moment. Your mind comes up with these scenarios and it remembers, oh yeah, when I was 4 or 5, I remember this person bullying me at school, and it left me feeling really awful. And your mind has held on to that event. And it's now saying, in life as you are now, it's saying, if you try to do anything, somebody's going to bully you. So take a step back, put yourself into a background, don't draw attention to yourself. And it can be those kind of root causes. So I would then say, right, the person you are now, advise that younger version of yourself. What would you say to that person now? If you were able to step out of your body and see the younger version of yourself right in front of you getting bullied, what would you say to them? How would you advise it now? And quite often people just instantly snap into this positive mindset. It's almost like a protective mechanism. And they say, well, I would advise them to do this and not listen to the bully. The bullies often hurt themselves and they're just venting frustration at you. And they see it from a different mindset. And because you're, in a way, nurturing yourself, you start to change your entire mindset from that early point onwards. And your mind instantly starts to track forward in time up to the present day, reframing the way you see things. Mm-hmm. And when you get that kind of realization, and the client then turns back around to you and says, you know what, I don't need to hang on to all this stress, all this trauma. I can just do this instead. I can do that instead. And they instantly start bringing these alternatives. They sidestep whatever they perceived that problem to be. And they say, well, I can do this instead. I can do that. I am empowered to do this. And it's often that moment. It's that specific second. It just, my heart bursts. It's just like massive explosions. I love seeing that moment. It's why I do my job. Seeing that change.
Well, it sounds like one of the things that you brought up that a person can come to understand is that it's not necessarily their stuff, or rather it's their stuff that's blocking the way, because it's always about what when somebody throws something at you, throws a curveball at you, it's their stuff and you don't need to take it on. And yet we all have these damaged children within us who tend to be reactive and go back and react in dysfunctional ways that are part of lifelong pattern. And then we need to break out of that, and as you say, to detach and become present to the moment and recognize it's not happening now, and that we can move forward. We don't need to let the ghosts or demons of our past haunt us anymore.
That's it. It's all fear-based. Going through life, when you're young in particularly, you don't fully understand the situations you're in. You don't fully understand the mindset of other people. You just plow on through life the way you understand it. And often that isn't a very comprehensive understanding. One of the typical examples that I usually throw at clients is, let's say, a scenario of a very young child, let's say 2 or 3 year old, and they see a big friendly dog bounding up to them, tongue hanging out, mouth open, and it just wants fuss, it wants attention. It probably wants to lay on its back and get its belly scratched. But all that toddler sees is this big furry animal running up to them with its mouth open. They see its teeth and they get scared, they panic. And that sets the way for their understanding for the rest of life. And when I see people with specific animal phobias, that's often what's happened. There's been a trigger event when you haven't fully understood what's gone on, and you've held on to that damaged understanding, like you mentioned, the damaged child. And you've brought that with you for the rest of your life. If you just reframe that damaged part and see it for what it actually is and educate that young version, then it changes your perspective on everything else. And it is often other people's baggage that they throw at you. Everybody's going through some kind of trauma or some kind of adventure on their own, and you don't know what other people are experiencing. So when they react to things, if they've had a particularly bad day, it might not reflect on you. It might just reflect that they've had a bad day and they're just venting frustration. They're just getting it out the best way they can. And often people take it personally. They might think, oh, they're mad at me. I've done something wrong. What have I done wrong? Am I not good enough? And then it goes into this spiral of low self-esteem. Detach. See the world as it is right now and understand that everybody's different, yet we're all the same.
I'm wondering if there's a tool that, and we may get into this a little bit later in more depth, but I'm wondering if there are any particular tools that you could recommend for people to stay present to the moment so that they can learn to detach when they might become triggered.
It's usually an emotional factor. When you when you become involved in something, your emotions spike. Whether they're good emotions, which are great, or whether they're bad emotions, they can drive you to make certain decisions. So if you can instantly realize that you don't have to react to these things, I think reaction, spot reaction is one of the biggest things that you can do negatively. If you can understand a situation that's going on and learn to react unemotionally and probably more logically, you can then, almost as we said earlier, take a step back, detach, throw the emotions away and just realize exactly what's going on. Okay, this person is standing in front of me, they're shouting at me, but it's really not for something I've done. They might be going through some trauma themselves. So once you understand that situation, it can usually diffuse it, because you then, you don't take on that frustrated energy. You don't take on that anger yourself or the fear. You see that someone in front of you, they need help. They're going through something and they need help with it. So once you get that into your mind, it kind of opens your eyes to different scenarios and you tend not to react. When if we direct it through to the, let's say, through to the staying on track with goals, what you can do is you can break each goal down into smaller measurable units to stay on track. You dream big, by all means, dream big and make them as big as possible, shoot for the stars. But when you break those goals down, you tend to see it as a less emotional process. And you don't get the fear attached to it. It's, oh, this year I want to slim down 200 pounds, let's say, just a massive amount. And it can be quite an emotional factor, slimming down that much. But when you break it down into the, okay, that's the end goal. At the end of the year, that's what I want to achieve. But every day to move up to that goal, that means I've got to lose this amount, or I've got to do these techniques or these exercises or eat this right proper kind of nutrition to achieve that big goal. So when you take emotions off the table and you see everything logically in a plan, a broken down specific plan, it makes everything much easier and much more realistic. It's particularly with the goals, I would say there's a definite system. It's called the SMART goal system for achieving these goals. And most people, if they're in business, they will have definitely heard of SMART goals. SMART, it's an acronym. The letters stand for different words. SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and then time-framed. And if you break each goal down so that you know exactly what it is you're trying to achieve and you apply that model to it, you break a goal down. Let's be specific, so you know exactly what you're aiming for. Let's be measurable, so it can be broken down into those small steps. And then you realize whether it's achievable or attainable, so you know that the goal is a possibility and it's not a complete fairy tale. That makes it realistic. The goal really can be achieved using these defined steps. And then you break it down into a time-framed allocation. You spread that entire goal over a time period so that you don't overstretch or you don't stress yourself out. And it's the same going through life. In doing that, you've just taken off all the emotional factor. You've broken it down into logical, reasonable, realistic steps. And creating the goals in that way, it can change your entire life. It doesn't have to be just for slimming down. It can be becoming more confident. It can be releasing fears and phobias. It can be quitting smoking, even something like that. And also a good thing is to make yourself accountable and responsible for your actions. That's a really important one. tell everybody what you're trying to achieve. Tell the whole world. And by doing that, you're kind of just sharing this with the world, and you're hopefully getting a big support system.
Well, I have a question for you. I would imagine that fears and phobias can be a trap when it comes to wanting to achieve a goal such as becoming more slim. What would you have to say about that?
Not anymore.
Okay.
I've just launched a 7-day challenge where I'm basically giving anyone and everyone free tools to absolutely eliminate phobias in 7 days or less. That's my latest challenge. And it's free to the entire planet. It's basically a way of me giving back, because I know some of my greatest successes and the things that have got me into the global and international press have been my results when I've helped people overcome phobias. So I thought, right, that's my biggest success. That's what I'm going to give to the world for free. So, yeah.
Well, this might be a good time for you to put forward your contact information.
I was going to say, if we want to do that towards the end of the show, we can. But if you want to do it now, that's absolutely fine.
We'll do it both times.
Okay.
Just in case somebody has to tune out.
Right. My website is www.mind.works. And mind is spelt M-Y-N-D. Mind.works. And on that page, it's basically a mine of information. You will find a heap of information about symptoms and solutions, the basic modalities that I've learnt and what they're actually used for, how they work. And you'll also find links to that challenge. It's called the Crackophobia Challenge, the 7-day elimination challenge. And if you sign up to that challenge, I'm basically going to send you free videos to watch, free coaching videos, free MP3s to listen to, an ebook to look through, daily worksheets to fill out so you can monitor your progress. It's all step-by-step instructions, everything I teach to my own personal clients when they come to see me for phobia relief. And I'm giving that away for free. So, yeah, visit
That's
that
great.
Website, mind.works, and have a look at that. See if you can change your life. And then get
Sounds
back
good.
To those goals.
Well, why do people fail to stay on track, Richard?
Failure? What's that? I don't think failure.
Yeah, right.
I see problems as challenges to overcome. The notion of failure, it's simply to learn a lesson in how not to do it. You don't fail. You learn a positive lesson in how not to do something. Let's just say if you failed at something, it's a positive lesson on how to progress. You learn how not to do it the next time. And there's often quotes going around the internet when people have failed. No, they haven't. They've learned how not to do something 10,000 times. If you put your perspective in a positive angle, you're not going to stop. You're going to keep on going. But people do tend to have difficulty when they don't build in a resilience plan. One of the biggest stages to setting goals is to build that plan. Break the stages down into smaller bite-sized chunks so you know exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you're going to get there, and also have a backup plan. Life, you can't control life. Nothing is controllable in life. You just go with the flow. And if something happens, before you start this challenge, this goal, imagine something negative happening. Let's just say I wanted to go to the gym to be fit. One day I might not be able to get to the gym. Now, in some people's cases, they might see that as a massive failure. The whole thing has gone wrong. I can't do it. It's a big failure. But some other people might say, right, okay, I can't visit the gym today. I can go tomorrow. I can go tomorrow and I'll spend a little bit more time tomorrow. Or instead of going to the gym, I'll do something else productive. I'll look around at where I am or evaluate some other part of my life that I want to improve, and I'll work on that. So even if you haven't gone to the gym on that particular day, you've still done something else productive, and your mind will still keep on that positive, motivated momentum that, yeah, I am still taking those steps to improving my life. it's just not particularly on the getting fit or the weight loss aspect right now, but I'm still improving it. I briefly mentioned a martial arts background. I took the test for achieving a black belt at 12, and I failed my first grading, and I learned how not to do it. So I went back the next time when I was 13, and I took the black belt grading, and I aced it. So I became a black belt after studying for 4 years by the age of 13, because I wasn't dissuaded. I knew what I wanted. I knew how to achieve it. It went wrong the first time, and I knew how to correct it, and I went back and did it. That was my mindset, and that's been my mindset my entire life. If something goes wrong, you find solutions, and you put them into action, and you smash it, you achieve it.
Well, you know, my father's a pretty wise man. He once said there's a solution for every problem, and there's usually more than one. I liked what you were saying about keeping a positive mind, and if for some reason you don't stay on track on a particular day with regards to one goal, if you're doing something positive for yourself, that's a very affirming thing. What do you have to say about the power of affirmations?
Very strong. I mean, they direct your mind. One of the key principles in the various modalities that I've learned is that repetition, doing something repetitively, it becomes second nature. So if you're continually talking yourself down, if you're continually in a fearful state, that's the way you'll perceive the world. And the world will throw things at you, which will make you perceive it even more. You will notice what you focus on. So if you're focusing on a positive mindset, if you're saying things to yourself daily, I can do this, I am doing this, I'm going to beat this, I'm going to achieve this. And if you take the emotion out and put logic in its place, I'm going to achieve it by doing this. I'm going to take this step, I'm going to take that step. If you keep everything in a positive slant, and like I said, if something goes wrong, see it as a lesson. It's one of the biggest lessons you can learn. If someone does something bad to you, you've realized that it might not be your fault, and what they've done has put you in a certain position. So learn not to put yourself in that position again, or simply stay away from that person who's full of bad energy. There are loads of different ways that you can learn to go through life in a positive mindset and see the positivity in everything, the lessons in things. But people often look at things negatively, and that's why they tend to fall down.
It sounds like gratitude is a factor here. When you have achieved something positive, or when you've learned a lesson, that it's important to be thankful for that and to appreciate yourself.
Definitely, yeah, 100% agree. People can go through life struggling to try and achieve things, which is great, but look at what you've actually got. Look at the fact that you're here. Look around you. I'm often telling clients every single day, wake up and try to see the life that you live absolutely brand new. Try to see everything around you brand new, even if it's a walk out in nature. Look at the trees. Look at the colors. Smell the smells around you, and just smell them as if you're smelling them for the very first time. You're seeing the outside for the very first time. Right now, I'm looking out of a window and I'm looking at a big piece of machinery lifting a crane outside, and I'm fascinated. I'm looking at it like it's brand new, this construction. Just everything you see it as brand new, and just be grateful that you're here to experience it. You could be in a bad mindset and you could fill your life with negativity, or you could just be grateful for what you've got, who you are, and then try and improve that and try and improve others' lives as well.
Well, getting back to staying on track, what are some of the other tricks you might suggest for making it easier to do that?
Let's see. Let's use the SMART goal system. That's a really important one. Being held accountable daily. You can do that through affirmations, through reading various quotes, resources, bits of advice, documenting your progress, just charting how far you've got to. Rewarding yourself when you get to certain key milestones, give yourself a reward, a pat on the back. The a simple way is breaking up those big goals into the smaller chunks, which we mentioned right at the beginning. And then that's, it almost leads into like a stepping stone pathway to success. Conduct, let's say if you have a goal, let's say it stretches over a year, conduct, say, quarterly reviews of it, or maybe monthly reviews, or even you can break it down into weekly reviews. Take a look back, reflect on what you've done, how far you've come, be grateful for how far you've come, and then look at ways of maybe improving it. But continually monitor what you're doing. And if you're maintaining that goal set mindset, it's just unbeatable. As long as you're checking back, taking the emotions out of things and measuring things, it's basically, in a nutshell, it's saying become more logical. Break them down, become logical, and you can do the smallest little step, but it's in the right direction, and notice it and be grateful for it.
Do you recommend keeping a journal?
I probably would, yeah. Even if it's only jotting down one or two little sentences, that's what you've actually achieved in the day. I mean, the plan itself is going to be your journal. You're going to break down what you want to do and how you're going to do it. And that could be as specific as going into every single day, breaking it down, the little step that you're going to take every day. And at the end of the day, you can jot down a few sentences. Yeah, today's step was quite easy. I did this and I did this and it achieved that. Let's bring on tomorrow. One of my good friends has created a system where you actually think about what you want to achieve the next day and you plan for tomorrow. And you almost write it as if you've experienced tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, right, tomorrow I'm going to have done this, and this is what the day is going to go like, and by the end of the day I'm going to achieve that. And as you go to sleep that night, your mind is thinking about how it's going to do that. So it wakes up in the morning and it gets straight on with the job because it's had all night thinking about it. And it's a great little technique, that one.
Great. Well, let's get back to this notion of failure, because a lot of people get hung up on that. And some people seem to keep repeating the same mistake time after time after time and not learning the lesson. What would you suggest to somebody like that to keep them on track or get them back on track?
I would always refer back to that resilience plan. If something goes wrong or you become distracted, don't ever think of it as an entire failure. Always break things down into smaller chunks. What you need to do is check what stage of your particular challenge you reached, how far you got to, and discover intrinsically what stopped it from progressing, what stopped your progress. And there are various things that might have gone wrong. Perhaps you set the bar too high. Perhaps you needed some extra help in order to achieve it, but you tried to do it yourself. Let's take weight loss. It's a specific example. It's one that's very prevalent at this time of year. Anyone can eat healthily, or how they perceive to be healthy. Anyone can change their own mindset. Anyone can exercise that little bit more if they know how. Some people don't know how. They don't get the best advice. They just do what they think they're going to be doing the best. But sometimes it's not right. So if you have any goals, I would say sometimes experts are good to be consulted. They can help in, let's say, training techniques, the exercises. They can definitely help with nutrition, because everybody's different. We all need to eat slightly differently to achieve the results we want. And mind motivators like myself, I know that everyone's different. We all basically follow the same kind of thinking, but because we've all led different lives, we have a different view, we have a different perspective on certain situations. And when you're expert trained in noticing that, you can help somebody push past any plateaus that they reach and kick them onto the next stage. So I would say if you're continually going wrong somewhere, seek expert advice. Just ask friends and family first what they think, and then go to the experts and see what they think.
Well, what role does self-esteem play in being successful with achieving a person's goals?
It's self-esteem. It's often a case of the chicken and the egg, which came first. You can achieve a goal and then feel great about yourself for achieving it, or you might have to have that belief in yourself in order to push yourself forward to achieve it. It's a difficult question, but self-esteem is definitely a player in this goal-setting scenario. You basically have to define the difference between confidence and self-esteem. People usually think they're the same thing. Confidence, it can be a coat that you put on. It's a cloak of confidence, something you put on to do a particular job to give you the power to do that. Self-esteem is when you take all that confidence off. How do you estimate yourself? How do you value yourself? Are you valuable in what you are? Quite aside from any performances, who you are, that's the important thing. And that definitely needs to be nurtured. You need to have that belief in yourself, that basic notion that you are valuable. You're a fallible human being, just like the rest of us, but you're worth everything in who you are, not what you do. It's all about who you are. And if you want to improve yourself, you have everything you need to just take that first step and believe in yourself to do it. And once you take that step and you plan your journey, you seek help from others, most people will be more than willing to help. But the more you start progressing on that little journey, passing those little small objectives, taking the larger steps, building this solid belief in what you're undertaking, it's the best foundation for any success, having that self-belief and then taking action in it, pushing past the fear. It takes the same mental effort to believe in success as it does to believe in failure. So which one do you want to believe in? It's down to you. But people can be afraid because it's the fear factor. They fear that they might fail. What will other people think of me if I fail? You mentioned something quite profound at the beginning, like that we shouldn't compare ourselves with others. That's a fantastic line. That was a really good line. But it's the age-old notion. Who cares what other people think? Do what you do. Do the very best that you can do. Help others with the tools that you have. Follow the best advice if you seek advice. If it doesn't work, if you've tried your best, and maybe there's a different approach to take, ask someone else, ask an expert. Life goes on. There are always other solutions, like you mentioned earlier. But just do the very best you can and be proud of yourself. That's the main thing.
I like that. And I like the notion of pushing past fear. That sounds like a very empowering thing to do. We've talked about the role of inspiration in terms of being successful. Do you have any inspiring stories that you'd like to share with us?
Every single one of my clients, it's an inspiration to me. And I've seen thousands of people now. Off the top of my head, one that immediately springs to mind was a little six-year-old girl. Her mum brought her in. She was absolutely petrified of spiders. Absolutely petrified. Just the thought of them would send her into shakes and panic. And what I basically did is I quickly rolled my shirt sleeves up, took the tie off, got down to her level, and I just built this rapport with the little girl straight away. I got down onto her level like I was another kid talking to her. And she was fearful of spiders. So I just told her a real friendly story about a spider, and I reframed the fear in there. And this spider suddenly became a cartoon character. And as it was walking along, let's say a spider was in front of her, this spider that was a cartoon character suddenly had these weird and wonderful clothes on. So it became this kind of fashionable, groovy spider. And this spider itself, it had got lost. It was looking for its mummy and daddy. So all of a sudden, I'd taken away the fear factor of this spider's appearance. I'd taken away the emotional factor, and I'd given it a new reframe. The spider was now lost. It was lonely. It was looking for somewhere to go. So I changed the little girl's fear into more of like a nurturing step. Oh, I want to help this spider. It's not a big scary spider. It's lost. And it's also wearing some funny clothes. And this was done within 15 minutes. The six-year-old girl came into my office. 15 minutes later, after I'd told her that story, she walked away full of smiles. And I got a call from her mum a day or two later saying she's actually out in the garden and she's looking at this spider's web. And she's kind of holding her hand out to it, and she's not afraid of it. Absolutely not afraid. I definitely wouldn't suggest that here in Australia, because the spiders would eat you. But the basic story, the story behind it was that this little girl had just listened to my story. She changed her views and her perspective, got rid of that fear, and she was now living a life. And that inspires me, the way people can change. I've helped people who have then gone on to celebrity status, people who were really low in self-esteem, who came to see me, and they went on. Do you know the show The X Factor? Is that over there?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. We had it here in Britain. Not here in Britain, I'm in Australia, obviously. When I was in Britain, I had a contestant come to see me, really low self-esteem, but talented. So we worked on her self-esteem and her confidence, took away the fear, and she became a semi-finalist. She got really far and did really well for herself. And that inspired me, seeing people who struggle, who are facing challenges, and I just give them the tools to beat them. And it's an inspiration every day. Like I said before, every single one of my clients who have changed, improved their methods, they help me improve my methods. And when I see that moment that the client realizes that they've done it, they've slayed their demons, they've changed their lives, that's the moment that makes my day. That's the moment, that's the reason I do this. And that's inspiring.
How do you manage to keep yourself on track?
Oh, constantly learning. Looking around. Let me look around here. I can instantly see about 10 books scattered around the place. I'm always reading. There will always be someone in this world who is smarter than you, faster than you, bigger than you, better than you. There's always someone who knows more. And to constantly learn. If you want to achieve something, look into research people who've done it before. How did they achieve it? What steps did they take? And you can sometimes model their success. And it helps you if somebody has gone from A to B and they've plotted the route and they told you which way to go, you'd be a fool if you didn't follow that route, because that's the easiest one. That's the path of least resistance. But sometimes you want to do it for yourself. So you can take on the notion that, yeah, they've gone from A to B doing it this way. I'm going to try do it that way. If it doesn't work, I know I can still do it the first way that was advised, but at least I've tried something else. It's the way the world goes on. So yeah, I would say always keep reading. I'm always surrounded by books and reading blogs online, keeping things fresh, trying new approaches. One of the quite funny things that I suggest to clients is try something new every day, whether it's as simple as driving a different way to work or whether it's eating a meal with your knife and fork in the wrong hands, in a different hand. It just shakes your mind up. It makes you think differently. And it keeps things fresh, and it's quite amusing sometimes.
I like that.
So it's good. It's good to model traditional techniques and then just give them a little spin, just to freshen your life up. And it just gets your mind bubbling, and it gets things to work faster and smarter. And also step back, detach from things, see things from a new perspective. And when I'm facing a particular challenge, I'll take that moment, I'll step back from my own life, and I'll say, right, how would I advise a client who was in that situation? If one of my friends was in this situation, what would I advise them to do? And it's often the case that when you're in the situation, here's the phrase, you can't see the wood for the trees. You can't see which way to turn. But when you take that step back, oh, there it is, there's the solution. It just becomes apparent. So yeah, I'm always reading, learning, trying new approaches, and taking that step back, seeing what's working and seeing how to change it. I'd suggest everybody do that.
What would be your plans of action for somebody who's never set goals before but wants to move forward in a positive direction in their life?
I would say start with baby steps. First of all, discover what it is that you want to do and why you want to do it. They're really important questions. Actually, the three questions: what, why, and how. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? And how are you going to do it? And if you can answer those three questions and be really passionate about answering those, then write a plan. What, why, and how, and then plan it. Write it down, put it through all this SMART framework, tell everybody about it, create that accountability factor, the motivation behind it, and just take action. Take action. That's the first. Just take that step. Because quite often, people come to see me and say, oh, I'm not really motivated into doing this. If you can take the first small baby steps, it then tends to put your brain into overdrive and you tend to carry on doing it. You can, I'm often given examples, right? Let's just say you have to do all the housework, all the cooking, the cleaning, the washing. It's a mountainous task. You've got all this housework to do. But if you just start by doing something really simple, just vacuuming or just dusting or a little bit of washing up, you're already putting yourself in that kind of momentum. And your mind just then tends to carry on. Oh, I've done the washing up now. I'll do that dusting now. Or then I'll do the ironing. Or then I'll do this. It just tends to snowball. I imagine it like a little tiny snowball at the top of a snowy mountain. And all it takes is that one little nudge and it gets that momentum. It builds momentum. And as it's doing that, this snowball is gathering the snow and it's getting bigger and faster and better. And once that snowball starts to roll down that mountain, by about halfway down point, nothing can stop it. It becomes like an avalanche almost. It's just taking those first steps and getting it done. Take action. That's the best thing I could recommend.
Beautiful. What kind of resources would you recommend to people to learn about goal setting?
Books and the internet. Definitely the internet. It's the biggest library on the planet. People often forget that. They think it's all about funny cat videos and such like, or Facebook. But nowadays, the internet, it's a massive library of information. And if you take that information from someone who has achieved whatever goal you've set for yourself, if they've achieved it in the past, they've already done the research. They've already achieved it. They know what it took to get there. And quite often, you'll find these people telling others how they've done it. I mentioned my website at the beginning. I've got various blog posts that I put up all about different things, whether it's about goal setting or whether it's about losing weight or quitting smoking or whatever. I just put free information up there. So if people want to start doing these things, have a read through that. It's information. It's key to success.
Well, for people who might not have had their pens handy before, why don't you put out your contact information one more time?
Yeah, sure.
And then we
yeah.
have time for one brief call. We do have a caller on the line.
Okay, yeah. The website is www.mind.works, MYND.works. It's basically, it's an information site. You can read about all symptoms, suggestions on how to get over those symptoms. You can also purchase stuff from there, the MP3s, and find out all about the different therapies and the coaching that I do. But what I wanted to build it into a website that was just informative. People could go on and learn things.
Sounds good. All right, let's go. Mm-hmm. I have Diana on the line. I'm going to try to bring her up. Hi, Diana.
Hi, David.
Diana, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. How are you tonight?
Hi, Diana.
Hi. I came in late, so I got the Mind Works, but I didn't get your name.
This is Richard Scott. Richard Scott, he's currently in Australia, and he works internationally.
I've listened to him before, but like I said, I'm not good with names. But I remembered the Mind Works. This is M-Y-N-D. Yes.
That's
how
it.
You remember
sticking
it.
People's
like
minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions or comments before we end the show, Diana?
Well, I'm really enjoying everything he's saying because I think the affirmations and being positive and grateful and all that was really important when you for people who first wake up. They need to learn that fast because they usually are stuck in something negative because of mind control of television or family or social mind control. So when you learn, you know, the gratefulness and the thankfulness and reading your affirmations, I had affirmation books when I was living on the road, and I would actually change it to where it was totally positive. I sort of wiped out everything that was negative. And even some of the things that people were doing that they thought were positive, I wouldn't do it because it would be, I was getting for that positive vibration so much, like symptoms. I'm like, okay, this whole symptom thing can get to be negative, so I'm not going to do that. Because I wasn't the person who had fear anyway, but I could work with someone who had fear to baby step them into how they had to be. But I, you know, just reaching more and more positive, that's how I was, and that seemed to be what worked with me. And if you had a slumpy day, you had to have that affirmation book with you, within reach, all the time, because that was very important. First thing is to start reading it, even if you're not, you know, really taking it in. By the time you get to two or three pages, you're going to start enjoying it. So, and I would number them too.
What you're saying is absolutely right. Yeah, I totally agree.
I would number them
too. It's all about the positive spin.
What was the most important? And I would make sure that I read the most important ones for at least 3 weeks. And by that time, then I had them memorized or I didn't really need to hang on to them. So I think I was a lot like you. I came in late, but the things that I heard you talk about were very much like things that I did naturally. I didn't have to take classes. It just came to me naturally. Of course, I did the holistic certification. I guess that was the classes. The nursing, you know, and psychology. David, you probably had to take psychology classes for social working. You know, we took three psychology classes and clinical psychology for nursing. So a lot of the stuff that people say is brand new, I just found out it's stuff we learned in clinical psychology in the 70s and 80s. It's just the same old stuff reworded. So it's not like this stuff.
Yeah, a lot of times people need to hear over and over in different ways. The same thing can be said in many different ways. And
that's
we're going to wrap
stuff,
things.
It's been a memorial, hasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with what's been said. Yeah.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for inviting me. The pleasure's all mine, definitely.
And Diana, thank you for calling in, hon.
Mm-hmm. Very positive.
Thanks,
night.
Diana.
Okay, so once again we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own mind. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Thanks again, Richard.
No problem at all.